and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Daniel Hall.
I'm Ben Allison. We hope this podcast is helpful for you as you engage ideas and the culture in your everyday lives so that you can help people find Jesus and also follow him.
And this podcast is based on Titus 2:11, which says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." So keep that in mind as you watch today's episode, and thank you for joining us, and God bless. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. Today's episode is going to be a part two in conjunction with part one of the identity crisis. So if you have not seen part one, please go back and watch part one right now. I'm also putting an iCard on the screen if you're on YouTube joining us. And feel free to watch that before we dive into today's episode. So with that said, I'm Daniel. This is Ben. And we are ready to dive in. So in the last episode, we talked a lot about, the identity crisis, what it is, what's going on in our culture today, and how gender affirmation is really, deflation, and how that it takes away from who we are and our relationship, if anything, with God, and how it leaves us empty and void, and it takes away from the things that God says about us. So we really wanted to bring you a part two because we felt like we can go a little bit deeper, and also we need to talk about what to do if you're experiencing these types of things. So with that, I'll let you kind of lead into what we're about to dive into.
Yeah, I think, like Daniel said, I think it's can be really valuable if there's someone in your life, maybe a friend, a son or daughter, that is questioning who they really are, questioning their identity, and maybe they end up coming to you, and maybe they're looking for affirmation, maybe they are confused and aren't sure what to do. There's a good way to go about it, and we want to talk about practically how you can have that conversation, because it can be a little bit scary because you don't want to sever the relationship with that person. Unfortunately, with the culture, how we talked about in part one, there is this thing where if you don't, agree with who I am, or if you don't, encourage me in the steps that I'm taking, then maybe the relationship is broken, severed, completely cut off as a result of that, because through all this confusion, someone is going to want to hear, the encouragement, the affirmation from someone. If they're not getting it from you, they're going to find it from someone else. So,
and that even reminded me of a story in the Bible, just briefly, that I want to share. Just hearing you say that, of people so consumed by the idea of hearing what they want to hear and rejecting all else, even if it's true, reminds me of King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, where he's talking about how he commands, he places a law in place and says, you have to bow down and worship the idol that I have set up whenever you hear the sound of timbrels, harps, lyres, trumpets, anything. You have to bow down and worship at all times of day, no matter what, whenever you hear it. And it just made me think of that because he's so enveloped in that story in the book of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar is so enveloped with himself and his pride, which we talked about in the last episode too. He's so enveloped and so prideful that even he commands people to worship him when it's not the right thing for them to do. And then we see Daniel and the other Hebrews that withstand his wrath and are thrown into the blazing fire, and we get a chance of a Christophany. But anyways, that's a whole other story. So fun stuff. But anyways, that's not our topic for today, and I need to stay on topic. So so there's each a verse that each of us want to read that are kind of, I think you would agree with this, they contrast in nature because of the way that they are phrased. But I think that honestly, they go hand in hand, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. So I'm going to go ahead and read the verse that I have for today, and then I'll let Ben take over right after. So in the book of Jeremiah, I'm in chapter 17 here, and in verse 9 it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Okay, and then it continues to say in the next verse, "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." So obviously the answer to the question, who can understand it? Well, God can, but there's also something else, and I'll let Ben speak on to that.
Yeah, well, we live in a culture that where everyone wants to be authentic, live their own life and follow their own truth and things like that and follow their own heart. And as Daniel mentioned in Jeremiah there, that the heart is wicked. And the word there that's used means it's perverse. It's beyond cure. That's how you know, bad our hearts are. And similarly, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the word says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life." So on one hand, the culture wants to say, follow your heart. Your heart will never lead you wrong. You know, all those kind of slogans and mantras and sayings that people live by. And on the other hand, Scripture says, no, don't follow your heart. You want to guard your heart. And again, if your heart's wicked, your heart is deceitful, you should be protecting against that. And the way we protect that is, a lot of times with our mind. Our heart, and you know, when we talk about our heart and, you know, kind of Western culture, a lot of times we're talking about our feelings, our emotions, our desires, things like that. And that would be, you know, part of what, you know, the heart means in, you know, the Old Testament that we're reading from. But in the Old Testament, the word, you know, for heart, it was really your whole self, your the center of where your decisions are made and your knowledge. And in some ways it would include kind of what we think of today as the mind as well. And so we have to protect our thoughts, protect our heart, our mind. And the way we protect that is by knowing what who God is and who God has created us to be. So I think kind of what we really want to get into with this episode is, practically speaking, how do we have those conversations if there's someone in our life that's struggling and they come to you. Someone says, "Hey, you know, you have a son or daughter," and they say, "Mom, Dad, you know, I'm trans. You know, what do you say to that?" And that can be really, really, really difficult. So, Daniel, I wanted to ask you, you know, that can be, you know, we can kind of, questions like that can really make us want to really bear down, really speak truth. And sometimes we, in our desire to be faithful, that it doesn't always come across very well. So, you know, give us some general thoughts on, you know, if someone were to say that to you, how should you respond if you want to have any hope of, you know, maintaining the relationship with that person?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think one important part of it is taking into consideration context, right? So how old is the person that is saying the statement? Is the person a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, or a 17-year-old, a 20-year-old? Mm-hmm. You know, what age are they? Now, if you have that context, exactly, if you have that context, let's imagine it in a couple of scenarios, okay? So let's say that I am presented with that statement by somebody that is under 10 years old, like we were talking about in the previous episode, sub 10. Then I'm going to approach that with a lot of grace, especially from the standpoint of saying, well, what do you mean by that? You know, so like let's take little Timmy, for example, right? Little Timmy says, "Hey, I am confused, and I think that I want to become a girl." And so the first response that would come to my mind is, why do you think that? what's going on and what led you to that decision? And then, you know, as somebody that is under 10 years old is likely to do, they're likely to say, well, this person told me that it was a good idea, and so I just thought it was a good idea. Or, you know, maybe I heard it from a teacher, or I heard it from an adult somewhere else saying that it was okay, and so I thought it would be a great idea. And so those are the ways that you can handle a situation in that case. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and as somebody that's a parent, in Ben's case, I'm sure if your child came to you like that, there would be a lot of discussion like that, because the first thing you want to do is understand what is their line of thinking.
Right. Yeah. I think if my, you know, I have a 4-year old right now, but, you know, you never know when some of these issues are going to cross your door. So we do need to be prepared. So I think whether he's 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever, and he came to me and said, Dad, I think I'm trans. You know, like Daniel said, and Daniel was, you know, for those who couldn't see, but you could certainly hear it in his voice if you're listening, he was very calm, very collected, you know, didn't freak out.
Yeah.
That's the main thing you want to do, you know, regardless, because if you freak out, everyone loses. And so just remember that. But yeah, the first question is going to be, you know, what do you mean by trans? Because to Daniel's point, if a child is under, you know, the age where they've not hit puberty, they really have no idea what sexual behavior even is, you know, this is probably something that they picked up from somewhere, and you want to inquire and ask about, you know, where did you get that? What do you think that trans means? That'd probably be the first thing out of my mouth, you know, and let them explain. And then, you know, for a young child, maybe the next step would be to say, okay, well, let's talk about this again in a year, you know, or let's talk about it in a month or something like that. And chances are it'll be completely forgotten, really. I mean, a child is likely, it's something they heard in passing, possibly. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a sit down with them and talk to them about how God created male and female, and that we are valuable in that with the biology that God created us with. Maybe you do that at some point, but I'm just saying that that's a very different scenario than, like Daniel said, who maybe comes to you when they're 17, 18, 20, or even a you know, more an adult established child that maybe is may come to a parent, you know, later in life with this kind of information. So I think that's the first thing. That question that I mentioned earlier, and Daniel actually mentioned it, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by, in this case, what do you mean by trans? That's a very powerful question. And, you know, if you're familiar with the book Tactics by Greg Kokel, it is a extremely powerful book. It's on my list. It's on my list of, you know, one of the top books that every Christian should read, in my opinion.
I agree.
It is one of the top maybe 2 books that every Christian should read. And besides the Bible, obviously.
Yes, that's
I think that goes without saying, but
yes.
It's way, way up there. And that's his, the book is all about talking with people and asking questions. And in the same vein that Jesus asked questions a lot when he encountered difficult scenarios and conversations. And so asking questions is a good way to get clarifying information. It's a good way to show interest in people, show them that you're interested in what they have to say, and let them speak for themselves and not push and put words in their mouth with statements and with accusations and things like that. So what do you mean by that is the first question. How did you come to that conclusion?
Yeah.
Is question number 2. So,
that's what I said a minute ago.
That's what you said. So a variation of that question, you know, because to some people those questions sound maybe a little bit sterile, you know.
Sure.
They sound a little bit like robotic almost. And so, but you can ask all kinds of questions that, you know, a variation of that question would be, what happened that made you feel this way? you know, that's the same. That's the same variation of how did you come to that conclusion?
Well, hey, you know, the same question. A stale cracker can still become a beautiful crouton. Just so you know.
Is that correct? Okay. Well, I never thought of it that way before. But hey, crackers, croutons. You know, six of one, half a dozen the other.
Yeah, sterile questions.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But I think that's, I think those are good questions. And because, and Daniel, we talked in the last episode about some statistics, especially as it pertains to children and things like that. But that is a really good question to ask, especially if a child is older, a teenager, a young adult, an adult, something like that, because studies are showing that that there's possibly a traumatic event that happened in that person's life that did play a factor in their confusion about sexuality, their confusion about you know, their gender and things like that. So that can be a really, really critical question to ask.
Well, and I think that that gives us a really good opportunity to share that here at New Hope Church, if you're in the Adel, Iowa area, our church offers a lot of different ministries that are related to men and women that have struggled with whether it be sexual sin or traumatic experiences or even widows that have lost a loved one, their spouse, you know. They offer a lot of ministries that are specifically for people struggling through those traumatic events and wanting to find freedom through the grace of God that he has to offer. So Ben and I certainly recommend and endorse for you all to check out the New Hope website, newhopeadel.org, and then /care will lead you straight to the list and descriptions of the ministries that we have to offer here at New Hope Church that can be very helpful in helping you find and follow Jesus.
Yeah. I think another thing to think about is you're trying to lead someone in these kind of conversations. Once you get past the information gathering stage, which is what those first two questions are, what do you mean by that and how'd you come to that conclusion? You are not making any statements in there. You are only asking for more information from the other person. So again, you're encouraging the conversation. You're asking for their point of view. You're inviting them to a conversation without making any statements of your own. So the third question is to ask some kind of question to identify a potential problem with the thinking. And the question starts with, have you ever considered? And then you would fill in the blank. So in this particular case, you might ask maybe a teenager or a young person, you know, have you ever considered that studies show that about 80% of the people who have feelings of an alternate gender actually grow out of it by the time that they are 18 years old? That's what studies are showing now. So that most of the vast, vast majority, very high number of young people that would say they have some kind of confusion or would identify as a different gender, they actually completely grow out of it. Because we talked about a little bit in the last episode of how much this crisis really is brought on by culture and the allure currently, the current allure of it. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the book Irreversible Damage, but it's a book all about gender transitions, and the author's name is Abigail Schreier, and she does a really fantastic job of talking about the irreversible damage of gender transitions and things like that, the puberty blockers and the hormones and the surgeries and things like that, and it's just horrific, the sorts of things that parents are doing to their kids, enabling their kids to do. However you want to say that, it's certainly not protecting our children. So it's really sad. But
well, and to that end, you know, I mean, I read this statistic in the last episode, but I mean, just to kind of point it out again that there's a study that shows that the data indicates that 82% of transgender individuals have considered killing themselves and 40% have attempted suicide. And suicidality is highest among transgender youth. Out of all subgroups of youth, it is the transgenders that have the highest rate of suicide. So if you don't think this is a crisis, which I think most would, but if you don't think this is a crisis, then I think that you're just ignoring the facts.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite sad.
And I think if we bring it down to a basic level with, you know, what a biblical worldview says about who we are, what truth is, where truth comes from, which is God is the source of truth, and how our feelings are different, and how a lot of times our feelings can trick us. This is something that we're teaching to our 4-year-old son right now. If you can imagine, a 4-year-old has lots of different feels. They're developing as well, and transitioning, if you will, from being a toddler to being a child. And there's changes going on there developmentally and mentally and all sorts of things. And so there's lots of feels, and we have to remind him sometimes that that sometimes our, you know, our feelings are good. God gives us emotions to help signal to us when something is wrong or when something is right. But you know, in the case of a 4-year-old, when something is not going the way that they want it, but that a lot of times our feelings actually trick us.
Yeah.
And this is what is these verses that we that we're reading now. This is why we have to guard our hearts, because our feelings don't tell us the truth a lot of times. Your mind is playing tricks on you. And when your mind is playing tricks on you, why would you go and have a physical surgery for something like that? It doesn't really make any sense. If your body has an issue, then yes, you would go in for a physical surgery. But if your mind has an issue, you don't go in for a physical surgery. You go get counseling for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You need to fix the mind. You need not fix the body. There's nothing wrong with the body. God created your body good. He created those organs good. It's the mind that needs to have a change in thinking, a renewing. You know, I've heard the metaphor, the illustration before. I can't remember the person's name, but said something like, I'm glad my parents, you know, whenever I was a kid and told my parents I wanted to be a pirate, I'm glad they didn't take me in for, you know, leg amputation and eye removal so that I could become a pirate, you know. And some people laugh, you know, at that. It is kind of funny. It's kind of clever. But it's kind of almost, I think, brushed off a little bit, because it kind of sounds a little bit like, you know, that's cute or whatever. But that's not really the same. Like, the kids are really struggling with this. They're struggling in their mind about who they really are. So it's not really a one-for-one illustration. And but, you know, if you think that, then, well, let's go to something more, a little more, you know, one-to-one comparison then. And let's get a little more serious. So if your child had an eating disorder, let's say, you know, bulimia or anorexia, and they were severely thin, unhealthy, you know, they weren't just thin, they were severely underweight.
They were gaunt.
Yes, yeah. Gaunt. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Mm-hmm. And they came to you and said, Mom, Dad, I'm fat. I need to lose some weight. What would your response be to that? Would your response be, yeah, honey, you know what? I think you could lose a few pounds. Why don't we take you in for liposuction? That would kill your kid. No, the loving thing to do is to tell them the truth and say, honey, no, you know what? We need to get you some help. Your mind is playing tricks on you. Your feelings are playing tricks on you. The mind is what needs to be fixed. So that's a little bit more of a serious, it's a little bit more of a real, actual scenario, because people with eating disorders do that sort of thing.
Well, and I like that scenario that you brought up, because it shows almost a different perspective, because that's a mental disorder that is shown physically. You know, it's not a physical disorder that is shown mentally. In fact, it really can't be. But instead, it's something that has gone wrong in their mind that is able to be shown physically, because you can tell, like we said, they're gaunt. They're anorexic, you know? They have no flesh on their bones. You see the bones through their body. So to that end, you know, a transgender surgery is something that, you know, began, like you argued, and I agree with you, it began as a mental obstruction, and now it has become a physical issue because you've undergone a surgery that, I mean, you can't just wish it away. It doesn't just go away overnight after you've had the surgery.
Yeah, you can't get those body parts back.
Right, it remains. And that's the part that is so important to stress, is especially if a child is young, but regardless of what age that you are or the other person is, these are things that, I mean, they can't just be undone. And you're making a very permanent decision, so you've got to think through this. You know, yeah. I mean, it's imperative that you think through this.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's tough, too, because in today's culture, we could do a whole series about how language has been hijacked in our culture. But
I read a whole book about it.
Love is one of those words that the word, the way it's used, is not the same type of love that we see in Scripture. Love in this culture means affirmation. It means approval of everything I do. If you love me, you'll tell me everything that I do is right. But as anyone who's a parent, or anyone who has kids, or really anyone who is a former child themselves, even if you don't have kids, you know that that parents make decisions, are supposed to make decisions for their child in out of love that is good for them, not because of always how it makes, you know, the child feel. And it can be really hard, because sometimes there's a conversation that's had, especially if maybe it's an older teen or a young adult or what have you, that is basically saying, well, you need to call me by my pronouns, or else I'm going to cut off the relationship from you. So what do you, I mean, that's a really, really tough thing. And there's a question that I've heard that I think Greg Kokel talks about in his book Tactics as well, but it's, anytime you're in, it could be for all kinds of scenarios or situations, could be in a conversation with someone at work and a difficult hot topic comes up, and the question you want to ask them, if they ask for, you know, you to give a response to something or what have you, a very wise question might be to ask someone, hey, you know what, I'd be glad to give you my thoughts on that, but before I do, do you mind if I ask you a question? Do you consider yourself a tolerant person? And of course, what are they going to say? Oh, yeah. Very tolerant person. Okay, good. Because so that means if we disagree, you'll still tolerate me then, right? Yeah. You'll still, you know, accept you'll still accept me.
Maintain respect.
You're setting the expectations, and so I think that's a really, really wise question to ask if you are in that horrible scenario where the relationship is in danger of being cut off. So that's one question that you can ask. Another question you could ask is, do you think it's the right thing to do to force people to violate their conscience? Do you think it's the right thing to do to force people to violate their conscience? Well, no, I think people should not have to have their conscience violated. Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Could you please not make me violate mine? Because my conscience says I'm a Christian. My conscience says that, you know, I love you as a person. God loves you. And I have to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Well, Paul even talked about that. Forgive me, because I don't know where it is in the New Testament. But Paul even talked about, you know, food sacrificed to idols, right? If one person, let's say that Ben considered this food to be holy because it's sacrificed by an idol, and my conscience is telling me that, I mean, it's bad because I don't follow that idol and I choose to follow God, then, you know, don't let your bad conscience condemn you. Rather, choose to say, hey, you know what? I understand that you choose to follow that, but I'm going to choose not to partake in that. You know, it's the same ideology.
Yeah, it's Romans 14 that you're talking about there.
Thank you, Ben. Romans 14.
You know, having that liberty. So, and it's speaking of love, and I'm here to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the classic, love passage, right? Everyone reads at their wedding, but hardly anyone really takes a minute to actually think about what it means. But I digress there. But it talks about love, and it says that love does not find joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth.
Hmm.
So as a Christian, it is actually the loving thing to do to tell someone the truth, not to tell them what they want to hear. In fact, telling someone what they want to hear is selfish, is a selfish thing to do.
Right.
Telling someone the truth and knowing that you're going to get clobbered for it later, or maybe immediately, is actually the loving thing to do.
Yeah.
And that might actually be a good question to ask the other person is that if there was something that I was going to do that was going to cause harm to myself or someone else, would you love me enough to tell me?
Hmm.
That's a big question.
Yeah.
Because if so, I would appreciate that if you would. I hope you would. Yeah. As a friend, as a loved one, I hope you tell me. If I'm going down a road that's going to hurt me, going to hurt someone else, I hope that you tell me. That's what I'm lovingly trying to do for you as well.
Yeah.
So these are a few questions that I think can be really good. Asking, you know, I think asking questions is especially in this kind of scenario, much better than can be very wise and better than making statements. Jesus said to be shrewd as a serpent and innocent as a dove.
That's right.
So that's one way that we can do that. So,
because wolves come among you in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
That's right. So we must discern by people's fruit. That's right.
And if nothing else, if you ask a few questions, you know, maybe it puts a stone in someone's shoe.
Mm.
Maybe it gives them some things to think about. And whenever you're the one to ask questions, you don't have to be the one to make any statements. All you're asking is for the other person to give you their perspective. So remain calm. Don't freak out. Ask good questions and, give someone, at the very least, give them something to think about. And if you have any questions about it, certainly can reach out to us and we can try to help you through that as well. Daniel, any final thoughts that you might have on the topic about talking through this type of conversation with people in your life?
Yeah, and as Ben said, if you do have any questions or concerns, we have our email in the description and you can reach us through that. But I think one of the most important things you could possibly ask ourselves, we can ask ourselves, is who does God say I am? What does God say about me? Right? And it goes back to one simple verse in the very beginning of this whole Bible. And it's in Genesis chapter 1, and it's verse 27. And it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And then he said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves among the ground." And we see that God has this beautiful picture of making man and woman, right, in his image, giving them the ability to be image bearers, right? Something that would continue on for the rest of history until this very moment that you and I are sitting at this table, and the ability to be image bearers and to have dominion and to share in the love that God has given us. You know, 1 John tells us that we love because God first loved us. And that is so true because God certainly loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his Holy Son to depart from him in heaven and to die on the cross for us. And why did he die on the cross? Because he was willing to share the truth and be obedient to God. Those are two things that Jesus did throughout his ministry. He was obedient to God and he shared the truth. Yeah. And so how much more is it for us, especially here in America too, in the middle of Iowa, you know, where we know that we aren't going to be crucified for what we say, but, you know, we might feel like it sometimes, but we're not going to be physically crucified. So how much more is it for us to be willing to take that next step and share the truth and be obedient to God? Because he longs for our hearts, and he doesn't wish that any of us perish. So, you know, that's the key is understanding that our identity should be found in Christ and in Christ alone, the cornerstone. I love that lyric. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important to understand that, and it's important to be rooted in that so that when you're faced with this challenge, because it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. Mm-hmm. And so when you're faced with this challenge in our world today, that you have an answer and that you have a reasoning as to why you believe in the things you believe. And that's so important in today's world, especially. So thank you, Ben, for sharing. I think that was actually really important and really good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love what you said there too about, being willing to share the truth with people. You know, Jesus said, you know, I came to testify to the truth. That was one of his big main purposes.
That's right.
And, when we are walking with him, we should, you know, expect that things are going to be hard. Things are, people may even hate us because of Jesus, but he tells us that when you're persecuted, you know, remember me because they persecuted me first.
That's right.
And so we can rest in that and still bring glory to him, even by being in these kinds of conversations. Sometimes it can be really hard. It can be really heartbreaking when relationships break. But in a lot of ways, I think it's our duty to look for these kinds of conversations and be willing to answer the call to share the truth of what God says about us with others.
Right. And just as Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
So with that, we thank you for joining us for part two today. And we hope and pray for you all as you either may be going through an experience like this or know somebody directly related or close to you that is going through something like this. And if you don't, well, it's a matter of time before you do, as statistics show. So we continue to pray for you, and thank you so much for listening, and we hope that you join us next time as we continue to dive into God's Word. God bless.